Are we on? Hello? 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 Are we on? Hello, I think we are on. I think we are. Yes, I'm sorry. This is Andy Kimball. This is live from Hollywood, United Kingdom. It's the Andy and Amanda Show, although we do not hear Amanda. I think Amanda might have another technical issue over there coming to us live from the UK. Anyway, I'm sure she'll be joining us again. We're going to give another shot in a minute here. And this is the Andy and Amanda program here on Blog Talk Radio. We're live. It's 8 p.m. in the UK. It's noontime, lunchtime here in the beautiful downtown Los Angeles studios of Coast to Coast. And it's 3 p.m. in New York and on the East Coast and Delaware, where our show coordinator, Cornell Butler, is, who's
obligated.
Hey. I'm hearing Amanda now. There she
is. Oh, my goodness. That's me chatting away to you, Andy. I can hear everything you were saying. That's me making signs to the signs you were making. I'm like,
I love the sound of your voice there, and I did miss it. I saw you hear it. I was thinking, oh, where's that lovely voice? Where's that lovely voice with the cool accent?
Thank you.
Yes. That tune, that intro tune is a tune I wrote called Simple Reasons, and I put together the guitar part only. And I sent it off to Chet, who you know. Chet's been on the show a lot of times, and he's in Hawaii.
Absolutely.
He's a producer. And
yeah.
Chet did all that production work and the bass and all the other things you hear. And because I told him I don't have the words for it, I'm going to play the next album, which was supposedly supposed to be recorded at Abbey Road Studios last June. Of course, COVID ruined that. But Chet produced the tune anyway, sent it back to me, and I still haven't written it yet, just the music there.
Yeah.
And I like that. Dinner down.
Yeah.
But I got to finish. I think it's a good song. I mean, it's got a good.
It is.
It's got a good. And a couple people said, why don't you just don't put words to it? Just put it out as instrumental like that. It's kind of cool. And I'm like, I don't know.
Because
it goes on and on. It might get boring. You know, it doesn't change any. It just kind of goes from what would be the verse to the bridge, verse to bridge, and then it kind of ends. So if you don't have any kind of words or any, you know, how, you know, to me, that would be, you know, I don't know. What do you think? You're a composer.
I love it. Obviously, I have not heard the whole thing, Andy, so I would love to hear the whole track.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah. Yes, please do. I would love to hear it properly. And it's so good. I really love it. It's got that real gentle,
Amanda,
mellow vibe.
I've got a cool idea. Here's my cool
you
idea.
Have? Okay.
Yes.
Can you share?
I got to think of what it was. It had it.
Okay.
Give me a second. Oh, yeah. Here's the idea. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
The idea is,
I send it to you because it's all complete. It's all composed. It's got the you know where the verse is, you know the bridge is, it all makes sense. And then why don't you maybe come up with a lyric line, maybe even do the vocal treatment on it?
Ooh. I would love to.
You know, either work or won't. You're amazing, no matter which way it works. You know, you're very talented, and very good. But why don't we just try that? Why don't I send it to you? Here we are having this conversation. We have these listeners all over the world. I'm sorry, folks. This is the. We're just talking between us, and I know everybody else is a fly on the wall. Listen to him, Amanda and I, who have never met, having this like phone conversation on a live. Oh, yeah. I guess the equivalent is equivalent to a live. Podcast. This is live radio, internet radio. Our number here, if you can dial into the States, is 515-605-9888. It's your show. Feel free to call in, talk about what you'd like to share with us, what you'd like to share about your life and about the events and issues of the world. And for those of you who are listening on the podcast, welcome aboard our show. We have, I think, 249 episodes. Friday marks our 250th episode of Coast to Coast.
Woo!
Yes. And it will do something special. You might see Amanda and I get to something we've never done before.
I wonder what that could be.
Where's Cornell? yep.
I like my hips to be held, and I like to, like, you know, so I can still move back and forth and, you know, work it, like twerk it.
Yeah.
Twerk it.
Friday will be our twerk show. I always wondered, you know, I could never for the longest time figure out when people say, oh, twerk. I never knew what that meant. I thought it was some kind of hiccup or burp or something.
You know, Andy, I was in the same boat, my darling.
You know, we are so, you know, it's amazing. We're so much on the same page about so many things in life.
I know, right?
Do you know what I mean? How,
yeah.
You know, we're both, it's just really something. It really is.
Yeah, It really is. I love it.
Well, I love it too. Gosh.
Yeah. So how you been, my darling?
I'm doing all right, man. It's been beautiful here in Southern California. As I said in the last show, the weather's been outstanding. I'm loving life here. And it's great doing the show. There's a lot of news, a lot of events I follow and dive into in preparation for the show, as you do. And it's a whole lot of fun. I've been doing real well, thanks. And, you know, I've said previously, I've had 2 Moderna injections, so it's kind of like I'm all done and just hurry up and wait for the rest of the population to follow suit. you know, I'm waiting to get out on the road. I'm waiting to get out and travel and visit and go back to Philadelphia and visit some of my family members and friends back there. I grew up there.
Aww.
And I've got amazing airfares right now. I'm a $38 round trip on Spirit Airlines, LA, Philly, one way.
Wow.
One each way.
Wow.
$38 each way. Yeah. Yeah. That's coast to coast. That's the name of our show. But to fly coast to coast. is $38. I can't each way. You know, I'm tempted to buy, and you can enter refundable tickets. Like they don't charge you to get out of it. So I might go ahead and I'm thinking about for $38 each way. I'm like, Andy, just go ahead and buy a bunch of round trips. Just go, go once or twice a month. You know, visit your sister, visit friends.
Why not?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and flying's pretty safe. I haven't really been following. And for me, I'm not worried about it, but why should I even worry at all about it? It doesn't really matter. I wear a mask.
Well,
I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just get on the plane. Just
go. I'm going to buy, you know, what the heck, I can afford it. I'm going for $38 each way. I'm going to buy several round trips, maybe even go to Boston one trip, you know, go to Boston, hang out.
Boston's great.
Yeah.
Especially after we had Christos, wasn't it, on the show, and he was talking about Boston and
how
very cool it is there. It's definitely somewhere I'd definitely visit, I think, in the year.
After he was on the show, and I was thinking, God, you know, I'd been to Boston off and on, you know, toured and played there and visited up there and so forth, and sailed up in that area in a sail, you know, on a boat, and it's just a wonderful area, and love Boston. One of my favorite cities, actually. One of my favorite cities.
Aww.
Boston, Seattle. They're kind of like real close in the same latitude, and and they're two top. You know, Seattle, Washington is incredible. The people there, if you're listening up there, mwah, love the people up there. The environment, the attitude of the people, the atmosphere there. It's kind of funny when I was in high school and just thereafter, I had friends that would and friends of friends that you'd hear, oh, they're moving to Seattle. I'm like, why is everybody moved to Seattle? All I heard was that it rains there all the time. And when you go there, and it might be foggy or misty or a little rain, you're not even conscious of it because just the atmosphere and the people and the surroundings are just so easy and great to be in. It's I must say this, I've got a great following in Seattle and that whole Washington area in terms of my music. I've always had good audiences there and had good draw, and people bought tickets and buy my music, and it's been really good for my career to be affiliated in a music sense with that geography. So it's been a terrific experience. But anyway,
beautiful.
We're going to do a cooking show as we talked about last time, and I think we'll do a travel show. We'll do a travel show.
That sounds good.
Cooking show.
We'll talk about we mentioned it here, meditate, depending on traveling somewhere.
you're breaking up a little bit, and there's either two ways to interpret that. You're saying a lot of curse words, you're being censored, or it's just a bad connection.
Okay, I'll work on that, what it is.
This is a man.
I must apologize for not being here to greet you personally.
But
I know, right?
Yeah.
Hang on.
Yeah, but that's a little better. Actually, you're coming through a little better now. Again, I guess I don't know if we should let people know where they're at. This is because we've been just chatting. This is the Andy and Amanda show, and we do bring the United States and UK together 3 times a week live and 6 or 7 days a week recorded, talking about issues, the news, headlines, conversations, chat, whatever comes to our mind at any given moment. We do it across a span of of 8,000 miles, you know, United States, UK, and Cornell Butler is our show coordinator, who kind of puts us together and guides us along, and he's quite often on the show. Used to be on every show, and then we kind of are playing around with our hours to make it more convenient for our listeners in the UK and that region of the world. For example, right now, it's 8 o'clock at night there, and it's since we started adjusting our – or just after 8, you know, but – after adjusting our hours, we've seen our listenership, you know, start to grow in that region of the world, and that's why we are doing this. Previously, we were on at my time, like I think 5 or 5:30, and that was like, you know, midnight, 1 in the morning for Amanda, 2 in the morning. So sometimes we do an hour, 2 hour shows, or 3 o'clock in the morning, we're still going on, and Amanda's here at 3 in the morning. and even at 3 in the morning, our listenership in Amanda's backyard there was impressive. And we figured, you know, let's make it more convenient for our international audience to listen to the show. It's not just about our audience here in the United States, although 78% of our audience is here. And hello, everybody around the United States and Canada. Our audience in Mexico, greetings to our neighbors to the south. A growing audience there. Greetings to our neighbors across the world in Australia, and to the new countries who have joined us on podcast distribution services, who are in Germany. Hello?
Yes.
How do you do? Hola? No, it's French. No, it's not even French. That's Spanish, right? Hola. Yep. Auf Wiedersehen? No, is that hello? Oh, I better shut up.
I think that's goodbye, isn't it? Although my German is not so good. You know, my mind goes blank as soon as somebody says, oh, what is this in this language? And I'm like, hang on a minute.
I think that's why they like listening to our show. They like to hear Andy make a fool of himself. But anyway, and Italy is just joined us recently, and France have joined us since we've joined podcast distribution networks.
Yes. Bonjour.
There we go. But you say that so nicely. You say that so beautifully.
Thank you.
But finally, 17 minutes into the show, I'm letting you know that this is the Andy and Amanda Show on Block Talk Radio. And if you want to join us from international regions, you don't have to call in. You could email us at andyandamandashow@gmail.com. Send a request. Say, hey, I want to talk to you guys. And I will respond or return the email with a link that'll bring you onto this show. We won't even screen your call. We'll just get you right on. Amanda and I are fluent in English, and I think that's about it. But if you want to speak another language, you're welcome to do so. We'll pretend we know what you're saying.
Yeah, we'll make all the right sounds in the right places. Like, oh, okay.
Do you know what? Yeah. I've been making a mistake, and I'll tell you what the error was, and I apologize, folks. Because the last few shows, I've been giving out our email address and pressing the link, and here's how you join it. And I have not been paying that much attention to the emails during the show. So those of you who have emailed us, you know, I'm on here now. Nobody's joined us yet. They're probably, well, why would I want to do that? But email us at Andy. I'm watching now. We'll just sit here and wait for somebody to join the show. Here's a message. Are you real? Yes, we are. Please confirm.
Yeah.
Here we are. We are real. We are live. This is Block Talk Radio, and we're talking to the whole world right now. Anything else?
Amazing.
This is Cornell Butler. Cornell sent us an email.
I'm not gonna bother with that one.
I think that might be a little. Here's one. Millions of people are still without power. Okay.
Wow.
Join the show and talk to us about it.
Okay.
Join the show. Anything
That's
else?
Horrible, isn't it? That they're without power. Wow. Bless them.
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about that. Here's one from a podcast distributor. It says, congratulations. Well, thank you very much. All right, folks. Well, we're here. We're monitoring the email. So if you want to join us, just send us a request, and we'll send you back the link, and you can join our show. In the United States, 515-605-9888. Amanda, take it away. Let's talk about the news. What's going on there in your neck of the world?
Hot news. So let's get on to COVID because it's the biggest thing around. So the main light seems to be shining on education right now. informing the public of the importance of getting children back to school and the fact that the exam has been delayed for 2 years. The 8th of March is going to be the day where children will return to school and the government believes it is safe to do so from the data they have analysed. Students are to be tested twice a week and wear face masks as advised. However, college students still do not have a set date when they can return to college. Secondary schools are being asked to run summer schools to assist with students being able to catch up. I've got to say, I feel for students right now across the spectrum. I mean, it must have been a big amount of stress and uncertainty for them. Putting exams, missing out on work, being stuck at home, parents trying to do their best with educating them, and the stress of now knowing that they are going to have to catch up on a lot of work when life has not returned back to normal, allowing them to have the kind of stress outlet that they had before. It's going to take a big toll on their mental health and, you know,
sure.
my thoughts in with all the kids now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Younger ones, obviously, they're just going to take it in stride as much as possible. But, you know, the older ones, you know, hormones kicking in and stress levels going up. I feel for them. I really do. Boris Johnson is also discussing about a vaccine passport or cater for use in public places like eating out, etc., and mentioned how they have to be careful with how they progress with this. They progress with this, of course, and it's minefield morally, etc., and it will be the first time that we have made something mandatory. So he mentioned how other countries will be making a thing for international travel and entering their country, you know, keep everybody safe and make sure you be vaccinated. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And I think there's going to be a lot of angry people about this situation because it's almost suggesting that if you have this vaccine for whatever reason, that you're going to be sick out and not be able to do the things you used to do and, you know, travel to other countries. And I understand the situation. Sure.
Yeah.
That it makes sense. For other countries to be extra, you know, the virus can cause more issues. So we shall see how it plays out. I'm a little nervous about it because, you know, the kind of disruption that may cause in itself. But it is, right? The government, at the end of the day, if they make decisions, they make decisions and we have to follow and do the best we can. So we shall see how it plays out. The other thing in the news here that pretty much that's been covered worldwide with Ghana becoming the first country to receive coronavirus vaccine through the vaccine sharing initiative. You know, the poorer countries are receiving these donations of vaccines, which is amazing news. I think 600,000 doses of the AstraZeneca. No, that again.
Yeah,
AstraZeneca.
Yes, I have a problem with that one too. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? that's the news at the moment as well. And I also heard about Tiger Woods.
And yes, Tiger Woods. He spun off not far from my house here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
He was involved in a rollover car crash that seriously injured the pro golfer, the world. I mean, probably the best golfer in the world, or almost the best. I think Jack Nicholson holds a record of 18 championships versus Tiger Woods, 16. Obviously, probably the most famous golfer in the world, without a question. He was seriously injured outside, Los Angeles, right, not far from my house on Tuesday. There will be an accident, so investigators won't pursue any kind of charges against Tiger Woods. What happened was he was spinning down a curvy road. I'll try to describe it to you. It's a gradient. It's a downsloping road that curves with a speed limit of 45 miles an hour. And typically, there's police officers who, you know, they don't spend their whole shifts on that road. Because they can't, but they do spend a deal of time there because it is notorious for accidents and people have gotten hurt, people have gotten killed there. They have stopped people going down this curve doing 85 miles an hour. And they've pulled people over doing that and cited them, justly so. And why?
Yeah.
Because the police officers want to save your damn life. That's why. And hopefully that'll be a shot over the bow. Don't do this anymore. I mean, you can get hurt. You can get killed by doing this. And
yeah.
So there have been, and so what happened was Tiger Woods, and again, speed limit is 45, and a lot of people just zoom on down this kind of open curvy road. Tiger Woods, for a reason we don't know, maybe it was cell phone. You know, again, we don't know. We don't know. But he lost control of his car. What happened is he hit a median, hit a curb, went to a tree on, going on the other side of the road, and tumbled down a gradient. You know, tumbled down. The car rolled over and was incredibly damaged. He was wearing a seatbelt. It saved his life. He was in an SUV. You know, the size and weight of his car, I'm sure, didn't hurt. He was rushed to the hospital, where they put a pole, a tube in his leg. Only because I got some connections into orthopedics and so forth here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find out, maybe talk more about what that means in the long run on Friday. But he was rushed right into surgery. He was in stable condition. His life was not considered to be in jeopardy, so they didn't take him to the closest hospital. They took him instead to the closest trauma center, where he was rushed into surgery. Tiger Woods is 45 years old. The accident happened just shortly after 7 a.m. Pacific time in an area called Rancho Palos Verdes. But yeah, that's not too far from my house at all. You know, he crossed two lanes of traffic and hit a curb, bam, hit a tree, bam, went tumbling down a gradient. He was conscious, he was calm, but he did sustain serious leg injuries. The surgery was lengthy. It's his lower leg and ankle. He was admitted to the Harbor UCLA Medical Center. And the statements out of there where the fractures were communicated, meaning that the bone was broken into more than two parts, and open, meaning that the broken bone was exposed to open air, creating risk of an infection.
Ooh, nasty.
So the Dr. Ashish Marahan said that they inserted a rod into his tibia to stabilize both the tibia and the fibula. Okay, the hip bone connected to the leg bone connected to the leg bone connected to the. Okay, so the tibia, the fibula, the gluvia, all those things were connected there somehow, and it was stabilized with a combination of screws, pins, glue. Crazy glue, and what else? Tape, duct tape, and scotch tape. Mm-hmm. They gift wrapped the whole thing, all that stuff.
Yeah.
No, they put screws and pins. It's amazing to me how they do all this. It's amazing to me.
Amazing. It is fascinating, definitely.
It really. I mean, seriously, it is. It's incredible. But he's going to be in rehab for quite some time, and. The question is, what's it going to do to his professional career? We don't know. And put that aside, who cares? Who cares? We wish him all the best, wish him well, speedy recovery.
Absolutely. I don't really for the guy old sport very much. But, you know, you obviously hear every now and again about his success in his career. What a guy. What a guy.
Yeah. And those of you who've probably seen and follow Tiger Woods or know who he is, I don't really follow golf, but of course everybody knows who he is. You may have seen on the news and wherever you are in the world and seen pictures or videos of that car, and it's truly a miracle that he is alive. I mean, my gosh. And I got to say this too. You know, Tiger Woods is famous, pro golfer, celebrity, blah, blah, blah. I also, you know, wish him a speedy recovery, but I also wish, I don't know how many traffic accidents there were yesterday in the States and the world, and people survived, and people were rushed in the hospital, and people broken necks, backs, and arms, and limbs. I wish everybody, not just Tiger Woods, if you know of somebody who was so affected in a car crash yesterday or any time, and I wish all the very best to their recovery, you know? Tiger Woods is a celebrity. Oh, my God, he's in the hospital. Oh, my God. Well, how about somebody who you know, is not a celebrity, you know, and nobody knows who they are. And they were injured. Maybe somebody T-boned them and crashed into them, and it wasn't even their own fault, and they got rushed to the hospital on all sorts of issues and surgeries and burns and whatever else. and nobody, and they just, nobody knows who they are, and the trauma that their life is, you know, I mean, car crashes are miserable, and needless to say, those who have been killed in car crashes, or in accidental deaths altogether, I mean, you know, I'm just very sensitive about that, just, you know, I don't care if you're a celebrity or not, you know, life is life, I don't care what you do, or how many people know who you are.
I've been blessed to say, sorry, darling,
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I've been blessed to be able to say that I've only ever been in one car accident, and it wasn't very, very serious, although it could have been. We were coming down, we were at a party, and we started to notice it was snowing outside, and we were like, oh my goodness, we better get back. We were like 20 miles away from home, something like that. And so the only way to leave this property that we were at was to go down this hill. So we had to drive down this hill in the snow, and the car just lost all control and went straight onto another main road and then straight into a building. And if the car had been just an inch more to the passenger side where I was sat, I would have come off very, very seriously hurt. And I just so grateful that night that nobody was walking along the path that was next to the building, that no cars were coming and we didn't plow into another car. It was... it was a very, very blessed incident. That's the only thing I can express about it. And yeah, I came off with whiplash. That was not nice.
Oof.
But you know, I'm thankful that we managed to get home okay, and that, you know, that was the only issues that we had, and that was enough for me to be extra careful when being in a car. But yeah, not nice at all. But
scary.
To what you said about all those people, the unknown people in the accidents, one thing I love to do, and this may sound silly to people, but as soon as I hear a siren or I've heard that somebody's been hurt, I tend to say in my mind, I wish for them a speedy recovery. I wish for them to get all the help they, you know, they need.
Yeah, I
love to do that. It just, it makes me feel good about, you know, I feel like I'm contributing somehow, even if, you know, people would laugh at that idea, but, you know.
No, I wouldn't. I understand it. I understand it. It's you express a great deal of empathy and sympathy for those who are hurting and those who are going to need you know, help and support.
Whether
it's a sickness or an accident, either way. Speaking of sickness, you know, COVID numbers are showing down, a downward trend compared to where they were in January. And we talk these horrific, we get on the show and talk about, well, 4,500 people died in the last 24 hours. I mean, just incredible numbers. Yes. And, you know, as we've said so many times, you know, one person dying is tragic, you know, too, from this thing. And especially because I you know, this thing could have been curbed. You know, could we prevent all the deaths? No. But could we have prevented many of the deaths? Absolutely could have, especially here in the United States. And if the United States is looked upon as a world leader, well, we dropped the bag on this one. Holy crap, did we drop the bag on this one?
Well,
we're the worst in the world. We're number one. Top 10. Usually when you talk about the top 10, but this is the top 10 tragedy here. Counting down from 10 to 1, and especially a lot of these countries, we have people in these countries that are listening to the show or listening to the podcast of this show. And again, hey, how you doing? The top 10 are 10 to 1 is Germany, Turkey, Italy, Spain, France, UK, number 5, Russia, Brazil, India, USA. 10 people in the last 24 hours so far, 190 people have died in Germany, and the USA, 1,119 people have died within the last 24 hours. Total deaths in the United States is now 516,154. Total deaths in the UK is 121,000 and change, almost 122,000. This is ridiculous. But I will say this. I think we are – And I might be speaking out of turn here again, but it seems to me, and this is only my observation, that we are on the other side of this. Like, it seems like we're getting – like, the cases are tragic, but the numbers are smaller than they were a month ago or a month and a half ago. And I hope that – hope we don't see another spike. Hope we don't see another spike.
Yes.
You know, and you know, shows like our own, and you know, you're seeing a lot of commentators and a lot of celebrities and singer-songwriters and musicians and news anchors and spokespersons getting on and saying, wear a mask. You know, and my observation here in California, and don't go anywhere else out of here. Is that many more people are wearing masks, you know? I used to go down to Orange County over the summer and almost like it all disappear. You know, you go down to Orange County, just south of LA, LA County, the next county down, and suddenly people aren't, you know, very, very Trump. You see Trump banners down there and a lot of, you know, I'm not going to say Republicans because I don't consider a Trump a supporter Republican. A lot of Trump supporters not wearing masks, saying that's my right. And we've talked about that at length on the show over the past months.
Yeah.
You know, these folks are just, you know, beat their chests and say, you can't make me wear a mask, you know, and this all hoax. We've talked about this at length, as other people have as well. But what you're seeing now, my experience and my observations are that people are being more diligent. They're in fact, and indeed are, being safer. And if you do that, it will reflect upon the degree of this virus having an effect on our population. And we're seeing that. And I just hope we continue it. Earlier this week, Joe Biden gave some remarks and paid tribute to the, at that time, 511,000, I think it was. You know, if, really, it was the 500,000 people who died during this horrific crisis. And we're going to play some clips from that and just take a listen and reflect and observe. Pay attention. Let it soak in and listen to how he speaks. We've had the last 4 years. Just listen to the current president of the United States. No, that wasn't him.
Oh, he's too tired to talk.
Hold on.
What I say is what I say. Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
Damn. Wrong one, too.
Hold up. He's no longer the current president, right?
Where have I been? No, okay. I couldn't resist. But let's hear... I could go on. I won't. All right. Let's – I better not. People call our listeners are going to drop off here like flies. Let's listen. let's listen to part of – this is going to go on for a few minutes, folks. So just reflect and listen to the current president of the United States, Joseph Biden. What I say is what I say. No, okay. I'll get to my
That was a quick 2 minutes. Wow.
Wait.
Donald Trump may be the greatest of all time. Greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time.
I'll get it. I promise it will. Okay, you're all waiting by bated breath. Hey, maybe it's like keep an audience. You know, maybe so you do it. You just kind of just hold the carrot in front of them, you know.
Yeah. It's
okay,
like,
anyway.
It's coming.
You know how they do on TV shows, radio shows? They say, well, and right after this message, you have to listen to the commercial.
Yeah.
I should play a commercial. I got Kona commercials. No, okay, folks, really, here we go. And I'm going to play a few of these, but we're going to start with this one. It's going to go in a few minutes. Here's Joe Biden.
Americans have been infected by or died from COVID-19. Today, we mark a truly grim, heartbreaking milestone. 500,071 dead. That's more Americans who've died in 1 year in this pandemic than in World War I, World War II, and the Vietnam War combined. That's more lives lost to this virus than any other nation on Earth. But as we acknowledge the scale of this mass death in America, we remember each person and the life they lived. They're people we knew. They're people we feel like we knew. Read the obituaries and remembrances. The son who called his mom every night just to check in. The father's daughter who lit up his world. The best friend who was always there. The nurse and nurses, but the nurse who made her patients want to live. I was in just in Kalamazoo, Michigan, at the Pfizer vaccine manufacturing facility. There I met a man when I walked in whose father-in-law was dying of the virus. He was sad. I asked if I could call his father-in-law. He said his father-in-law was too sick to speak. But then he said, but could I pray for him? Could I pray for him? We all know someone, fellow Americans who live lives of struggle, purpose, and of hope, who talked late into the night about their dreams, who wore the uniform born to serve, who loved, played, and always offered a hand. We often hear people described as ordinary Americans. There's no such thing. There's nothing ordinary about them. The people we lost were extraordinary. They spanned generations. Born in America, immigrated to America. But just like that, so many of them took their final breath alone in America. As a nation, we can't accept such a cruel fate. While we've been fighting this pandemic for so long, we have to resist becoming numb to the sorrow. We have to resist viewing each life as a statistic or a blur or on the news. We must do so to honor the dead, but equally important, care for the living, those who are left behind, for the loved ones left behind. I know all too well. I know what it's like to not be there when it happens. I know what it's like when you are there, holding their hands. There's a look in your eye and they slip away. That black hole in your chest, you feel like you're being sucked into it. The survivor's remorse, the anger, the questions of faith in your soul. For some of you, it's been a year, a month, a week, a day, even an hour. And I know that when you stare at that empty chair around the kitchen table, it brings it all back, no matter how long ago it happened, as if it just happened that moment you look at that empty chair. The birthdays, the anniversaries, the holidays without them. And the everyday things, the small things, the tiny things that you miss the most. That scent when you open the closet. That park you go by that you used to stroll in. That movie theater where you met. The morning coffee you shared together. The bend in his smile. The perfect pitch to her laugh.
President Joseph R. Biden.
His father died of COVID-19.
Yeah.
That really moved me, Andy. Like, I seriously have tears in my eyes.
That's the President of the United States of America.
Incredible.
Unless we not forget.
That's why the day before my inauguration, at the COVID-19 memorial, at the reflecting pool on the National Mall, I said, To heal, we must remember.
You may ask about the coronavirus, which is very well under control in our country.
I know it's hard. I promise you, I know it's hard. I remember. But that's how you heal. You have to remember.
We have very few people with it, and the people that have it are, in all cases, I have not heard anything other. Maybe there's something new, because for 2 days, I haven't been seeing too much of that news, of very much news, because it's been very all-encompassing. We've accomplished a lot here. We had a lot of meetings, as you know.
For those who have lost loved ones, this is what I know. They're never truly gone. They'll always be part of your heart. I know this as well, and it seems unbelievable, but I promise you, the day will come in the memory of the loved one you lost, it'll bring a smile to your lips before a tear to your eye. It will come, I promise you.
We have that now very much under control, other than certain parts of the Congo where they're having war and we can't get in.
My prayer for you, though, is that they will come sooner rather than later. And that's when you know you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And for me, the way through sorrow and grief is to find purpose. I don't know how many of you have lost someone a while ago wondering, is he or she proud of me now? Is it what they want me to do?
Again, Joe Biden, the 46th president of the United States of America.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. The way that he's shown that human compassion, and it's more than human compassion, it's incredible. I mean, you don't hear many leaders around the world expressing to that extent, you know? You really don't. And that's something people love to hear. They need that connection. They need to trust the person that is leading them to know that that person feels just like they do.
Yeah. Yes. And you've heard some of the I'm not going to mention his name, of the former guy who was in the White House, positioned against the current president, Joe Biden. And my God, who in their right mind, regret making this transition, regret making this change? I mean, there are people, I just don't get it. Must be a different world, a different upbringing, a different mentality, maybe perhaps a different education. I want to get into that in just a minute. I don't get it. I just don't understand it. It's there. It's not rocket science when you look at, I'm not saying some of the accomplishments of Donald Trump regarding our life, the economy, were all horrible. No, they were not. And we've given him credit on the show when he's done some things that we liked and I remember doing, so I don't remember what they were. I remember saying, hey, I don't remember exactly what he did, but I know there was a couple of things along the way that were like, If I thought about it right now for a minute, I know I can recall it, but that's not my point. So just overall, and what I want to touch upon here, and again, this is kind of when we do the show, it's not like we have an exact agenda. There's some things we want to touch upon. There's some news we want to touch upon. But basically, we're talking about whatever crosses our mind at any given moment, which I think is, hopefully some enjoyable experience regarding listening to the show. Because things are crossing your mind, too, as you're listening to this show and other shows. And what I want to talk about, and what just crossed my mind when I just said those words, is it education? Here's the question I have. This is a good question. Just think about this for a minute. The leading universities, and I could say United States, but let's just say the UK and here and different parts of the world, leading universities, it's very, 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 very difficult. You got to do more than walk on water to get in as a high school graduate to get into the Harvards, the Yales, the Cambridge, the Oxfords, the St. Andrews there in the UK. Where's St. Andrews? You've got to be beyond stellar. And the median income for a graduate, what happens to the careers, of Brown, an Ivy League, of a Yale, of a Harvard, is close to or over $200,000 a year. And in order to make these incomes, you don't make the fries. You own the restaurant that makes the fries, right?
Yes.
So just project that. I'm using fries obviously as an illustration, but you know what I'm saying. You don't lay the bricks. You own the real estate company that's building the building, right? Not to say that people who have gone to Ivy League schools and have done whatever they wanted to or nothing with their careers, of course. But putting that aside. Basically, when one wants to ascertain a certain level in society and a profession and a career, and they feel that a Harvard education, a Yale education, a Brown education, a Cambridge education, an Oxford education, is going to get me there, is going to get me to a place in my career, in my life, and establish the connections and put that on my resume that I graduated Harvard or Yale Law or undergrad or marketing a degree from Wharton at University of Pennsylvania, you know, which is a median income of $198,000 a year, close to it. So what does that – and these are the same people, which I might even be – I have to think. I have to reflect if I'm included in this group or not. I have to think about it.
Okay.
The same people, and I might be, and if I am, you know, it's something for me to think about. But
okay,
who are supporting financially the movements of the Black Lives Matter and the, you know, and the injustices and the, you know, higher, you know, making minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $15 an hour in 4 years, and we need to do this, we need to do this, all these things. While that, what do you want to call it, class or stratus of society stays at $15 or $20 an hour, you know, $15, and it's still, to me, you know, we've got millions of people who are living paycheck to paycheck, making $15 an hour, so having two jobs, they can't support their kids, they can't educate their kids properly, can't clothe their kids, feed their kids, because they're making $7.25, $7.50 an hour. Is it the jobs aren't there, or are they applying for jobs that pay more, they're not getting them, whatever? They don't have Brown on the resumes. They don't have Harvard on the resumes. Maybe they graduated with a history degree from Syracuse, or an English degree, and had a great education, and they're bright, and they're whatever. And so the question is this. Does the Ivy League, going to call it, the Ivy League environment by itself create an atmosphere or an environment that separates the classes more than the classes separate themselves? So when you do a Harvard or Brown or U of P, University of Pennsylvania, pursue a, you know, a gig out of school, you know, I'm 23 or 21 or 22, graduate school, I land a gig that pays $70,000 out of the gate with a degree from that school right away as an entry level position with Oracle or whoever it might be, you know, Microsoft or Netflix or Hulu or whatever, as some kind of marketing something, and I got my degree from Harvard, that says, wow, you know, okay, $75,000 a year day one. Now I just graduated community college or Syracuse or New Hampshire or Hawthorne or, you know, or Hampshire College or I don't know, whatever college, you know, Oklahoma, whatever, with a degree in whatever. My salary out of day one might be $40,000 a year, $30,000 a year, whatever, in not a management position or track to a management position with Microsoft. So, but the folks that are making that $200,000 a year, who tend to be liberal, who tend to be Democrats, in a way, are those same? Is that same? You see what I'm getting at? In other words, you know, we want to be more, create a more inclusive society. We want to give a leg up to the disadvantaged population. We want to do all this.
Yeah.
But when will Harvard and Yale start admitting people who are in the class where they've had to, you know, educate themselves with media jobs from high school and don't have the 4.5 averages and the possibilities and potential to attain that and to get those extracurricular activities that mean something to get you into Harvard and to write those essays and to have those internships and those travel abroad experiences in high school don't exist. So therefore, they can't get into Harvard.
Yeah. I see what you're saying, Andy. Yeah. And I agree with you on that. I think something could be put in place to help people achieve that kind of success that, you know, everybody rightly deserves. I don't think it should be so hard. I know you have to work to achieve something. You know, it proves that kind of system is in place to show that you're willing to work hard for what you really want in life, and therefore providing you with the kind of job that is going to require you to do that work. I understand the system, but I agree with what you're saying about the class divide in that sense. And there's no doubt about it. If you've got that kind of degree or qualification and that name on, you know, your CV, as they call it here, then people, companies will look at you and think, huh, yeah, they're worthy. they are worthy. And I'm sure there's plenty of companies that do that. You know, they see that and they think, yeah, we'll have that person because of this. And I think there should be better opportunities. I really do. Education is so important.
It is. And why, you know, the minds, the capability of somebody who hasn't had an opportunity because of their environment and their family and their their status in life, economically, financially. Usually money means opportunity, let's face it. You know,
yes, it does.
But who's to say that that person is any less capable or brilliant who has the potential to accomplish amazing things, maybe the next Microsoft, can't have that opportunity because of how they were, where life situation spelled upon them, laid itself upon them. And any opportunity was erased because of, how many students does Brown admit from disadvantaged hoods?
Yeah.
And it's funny because when somebody does get into this type of university, Black, Tan, Brown, or, anywhere, just usually it's a story in the newspaper. Hey, this person from this neighborhood, whose mom is single mom who had to work, two jobs and whatever, got into either dream school, got into Yale. And it happens every once in a blue moon. And when it happens, it's in the paper.
Yes. Yes.
Just food for thought here on the Andy and Amanda Show.
That's no, I love this food. It's yummy.
You should taste my chicken soup then.
Oh, Andy, when you sent that picture, I was just like, oh, my goodness, I want to taste it.
Wait, was that me in the mancini or was that the soup?
Both.
Boy,
that's
quick.
Our nervous laugh.
Oh, my. Yes.
Are you blushing
yes.
yet, darling? Are you blushing?
I am. Oh, gosh. Glad we're on a video. I'm glad we're on a video.
That soup looks divine. I swear, guys, for our listeners listening, Andy cooks up some wonderful things in his kitchen. And when I saw the picture of his soup, I really, really wanted to try it. It looks delicious.
Yep. They're doing it. They've already announced they're going to do it.
We're doing it more. We're going to have a cooking show. Seriously. Sooner than later, we're going to do it. We're going to talk about our recipes, have people send in. As a matter of fact, andyandamandashow@gmail.com. What do you like to cook? Send us your recipes. We'll talk about it on the program.
Absolutely. I'd love to hear what people have made and their own custom recipes, what they've come up with, and eager for us to try them. And it'd be good, actually, if people did email us or call in and say, look, here's this recipe. Give it a go. Let me know what you think. Or, as a kind of challenge. Wouldn't that be fun?
It would be a lot of fun. It really would be. Yeah. We're going to do that. I'm almost done with my. There's a little bit left at the bottom of the pot. I keep it in my Ninja Foodie and just put the keep me warm button and heat it up. And I've been living on it all week. It's really good. It's got the perfect amount of spice. I like things a little spicy. I like things a little spicy. You know what I'm saying? A little spicy.
Oh, I know, Andy. I know.
Been a while. You know what I mean? Where's Dr. Ruth when you need her? Where's Dr. Ruth when you need her?
I know, right?
Yeah. It ain't easy being me, I'll tell you. Listen, what's going on in Washington today there's a hearing as we speak. I remember there's another hearing a few days ago, last show there, with Merrick Garland, who was being nominated for the attorney general position. Anyway, there's one going on right now with Neera Tanden, who would be the very first American, I guess you could say American Indian, really, to ever hold a cabinet position. That's her heritage and background. And it's it's happening right now, and she is being Biden-nominated Neera Tanden as, I think I'm saying her name right, as the White House budget director. And it's and this whole process is really seemingly highlighting the crucial early what we're seeing is somewhat, I guess, for lack of a better word, battles on Capitol Hill that will really determine the future of Joe Biden's presidency, the terrain of the midterm elections and the fate of the Republican Party, because you're seeing these Republicans on the panel, on the Senate panel, just, you know, really being very direct with Neera Tanden and questioning on her some statements she has made as a member of Congress. The Senate committees overseeing the nomination postponed votes on Wednesday on whether to move her candidacy to the full chamber, The White House insisted it would not fold. You know, they would not give in on trying to get her confirmed, but her path forward, they're supporting her all the way for good reason. You know, the she has made some tweets past that slammed Republicans. And aides to Joe Biden have said that this is the first, you know, as a fact, you know, that they're looking at this as being the first fight over a key nominee that will help set the terms of Biden's relationship with Congress. And it's interesting because the controversy is really depicting how after 4 years of politics, in all the tweets by Trump and his disciples in his administration, the Trump era, it's resuming now inside the Beltway, not like it was with Donald Trump, but there are high stakes at play right now. And everyone in power or you know, with power is trying to wield their way, you know, by questions and by tweets and commenting. And there'll be other confirmation hearings ahead that we'll see, you know, what happens. And this is not going to be, and nobody said it would be. Nobody predicted this is going to be a, you know, easy downhill sleigh ride for Joe Biden. So we'll see what happens. And not only are we seeing that, but we're also seeing Republicans beginning to mobilize against an amazing, comprehensive $1.9 trillion rescue package. And they're trying to bill it as an example of a massive liberal overreach and a winning a political payoff. And they're, I think, they're gambling. They're putting it on red, and they might just lose. I mean, this $1.9 trillion, I hate to call it a bailout. It's a rescue package. It's what America needs comprehensively. Addressing additional money, additional cash to put in everybody's. We've all suffered miserably through this thing. You know, eliminating the first $10,000 of a college loan. And I, you know, I, my oldest daughter, you know, she's an amazingly bright kid. Our pat on the back, hey, Jess. She got 4 years of college with incredible rides, academic rides, which. You know, was and we're so appreciative of that. We still had to borrow money to pay a little bit of debt. And there's, you know, people graduate college with $250,000 in debt, and I'm not, I'm paying a small fraction of that. I mean, I don't have to disclose how much, but it's, believe me, it's a very, very small amount. And by eliminating 10 grand of that would be just, I, you know, I'm looking forward to that. And I could pay it right now. I can write a check and pay that debt, and which I'm. You know, I told her, hey, I'm going to do this. But then I said, you know what? The interest has been delayed. And the so there's no rush to pay it. Why pay it? Hey, I'd rather have the money sit in my bank account than theirs, especially if there's no mandatory payment, you know, when the interest doesn't start kicking in. So and the other reason I wanted to not pay it was that I wanted to see what would happen if it would be eliminated altogether, as Bernie Sanders has lobbied for, or it would be reduced. And I'm glad I didn't pay it because I would have been out 10 grand. I don't think they would have given me a run. Maybe they would have given me a refund. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sitting on it. So I'm. So you're actually talking
I've heard
to
that
somebody here on the air that this affects. This affects me. It affects $10,000 that would be in my bank account, or if it doesn't go through, I've got to pay an additional 10 grand out of my family's household money. Not that I regret it. I'd pay four times as much for the education she got. My God, you can't put a price tag on that education, in my opinion. I'd pay whatever. You know, I'd go work to $3,500, whatever I had to do to put her through the education she's had, whatever it is.
Yes.
And I think any parent would feel the same. Of course you would.
Of course.
There's
yeah.
parents out there. We all know that. We all feel the same way about our kids and our friends and their kids.
Yes.
But anyway, if Biden pulls the country out of this, which I think will happen if this goes through with the help of this bill.
Yeah.
The GOP is going to look like a mean and irresponsible party, regardless of what happens with Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really interested to see what unfolds with Donald Trump with revealing his spending.
Yeah. When is that taking place, darling? Mm-mm. And we talked, and Trump is facing, we talked about this last show, I think, the attorney, the Supreme Court denied even a hearing to allow Trump to hide his tax returns from Cyrus Vance, the U.S. attorney of the Lower District of New York, Manhattan.
Mm.
And they're not going to release the tax returns, but they sure will announce the summary of them. And if Trump is indicted, which I tend to believe he will be, that's just my personal opinion. I don't know, of course, I'm not a soothsayer. I think he's going to be indicted. Then we'll know what was in those tax returns. You know, in summary, folks, real quick, if you haven't been paying attention to where you are in the world or don't know, it's been reported by Donald Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, that who was his side man and fixer for years, that when it came time to getting loans, Donald Trump would inflate the value of his assets to loan institutions, to banks. When it came time to paying taxes, Donald Trump produced another set of books which showed how much money he's losing. You can't show that if you're applying for a loan, you can't go to the bank and say, hey, I'm losing a fortune. Why don't you lend me some money?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it kind of in A, scenario A that I depicted is bank fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Category B that I depicted is evasion of tax, is tax evasion. Either way is a felony.
Yeah.
Either way, you land in jail if you're so convicted. That's where he is right now. The party that he represents, the Republican Party, is so divided right now. Where you take some senators like, who, and I love this guy, Mitt Romney, I'd vote for him tomorrow. I mean, I love Biden and everything, but Mitt Romney, a Republican, I love this guy, and for so many reasons,
okay.
We'll talk about this at the time, but he's wonderful
yeah.
in my book. I would work for him. I would work for this guy.
Wow, okay.
Mitt Romney are working through principled objections to Biden's policies and nominees, but Trump loyalists like Ted Cruz, who disappeared to Mexico during the freeze in Texas, these conspiracy theorists, Josh Hawley, Ron Johnson, are performing their own, watching their leader in exile, and perhaps more critically, his base of supporters. They're forcing their party what may turn into a four-year fight over Trump's lies about an election he lost over the next 4 years. And that'll be absolutely disheartening to the Republican Party as a whole. Anyway, so that's going on in the news right now, too. We're seeing and reading and people are talking about that. So, hey, so are we.
Absolutely, so, Andy. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's all we can do is talk about what's out there, know?
Yeah.
Some cool COVID news. The FDA says that single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine is safe and effective. So look for that.
Ooh.
Coming to your pharmacy soon and distribution soon. One shot does it all. You don't need the two doses.
Wow.
I don't know the inner workings or why, how come there are one and the others are two. And also, the single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine can be stored at lower temperatures. So the transportation, logistics, distribution, storage is not merely the factor in the single dose injection as the Moderna and the Pfizer.
What a headache that must have been, right, to get all that.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Strategically placed for the country is just, crazy.
It's interesting the workings. We've talked about these injections, these shots, and how they work periodically on our show. But I just wonder how come this one is different, and what makes it different? How come it can be stored at warmer temperatures and one shot, but the others can't? I don't know. I'm just into that kind of thing. Masks are going to be distributed to 1,300 community health centers and 60,000 food pantries nationwide. Any American who needs a mask can walk into these health centers, food pantries and pick one up. And these are high quality American made, like N95 type masks. These are, I don't know if they're N95
wow.
exactly, but very high quality to do the job. You're seeing all this stuff. Biden's been in office for a month. You know?
Incredible.
And it's funny because these right wing extremist conspiracy theorists are posting things on Facebook and retweeting and reposting things inside to say, hey, the Department of Labor shows jobless rates filing for unemployment claims up since Biden took office. They're not reporting since when Biden took office, you idiots, you fools, you crazies. They're reporting the last section of Donald Trump's. They don't have the numbers yet. The last 4 weeks, and they put it up there and try to get people to believe it, and some people believe it. God, that is so disheartening. And we go back to this over and over again about just you scratch your head and wonder about people. Just you've got to scratch your head.
Yeah. I know, right? I know. It's hard to understand the inner workings of another human being at times. It really is.
It is. Hey, what do you think of investing in real estate, Amanda? What's your take on investing in a home? We can do it.
Oh, I think go for it. I think it's a wonderful business.
The next. I need Amanda show. No, I'm kidding. But yeah.
Yeah. it's something I've actually seriously thought about. If I was ever blessed enough to be able to afford to do that, I just imagine it comes with its own issues, like any kind of business. But I think it's a very good way to make money and a career. And I don't really know a huge amount about it. It's definitely something I would consider looking into. I don't know how valuable it is with the current situation.
It's still the housing market is considered to be red hot, but there are, developing or emerging concerns about how much longer the strength of this, hot streak, like somebody at the crap table throwing the dice and keeps winning, how long is that going to continue? Just in the housing market itself and people doing, buying and, fixer uppers and to look at this, you look at places like, I don't know if Home Depot is over there. Huge, huge, national, gigantic hardware store, gigantic with every possible thing you can need to fix and build a home practically. You have them over there, Home Depot, Lowe's, et cetera. The earnings and sales, top Wall Street's, God, I wish I'd known that in advance, forecast on Tuesday. And Lowe's also reported better than expected earnings and sales on Wednesday morning. So these sales are lifted due to broad-based demand driven by continued consumer focus on the home. So people are fixing, rebuilding, buying, adding additions, doing things, adding roofs, decks, whatever. It's kind of interesting to see how long this will continue. The Federal Reserve is expected to keep its short-term rate near zero. In other words, you can get a 30-year mortgage right now for less than 2%, 1.8, 2.4 right in there, depending on what your credit is and so forth, 2.8, 1.8 low, and the time you finish waiting off your interest, you're paying no interest, you're making money by buying a house. Here's how I look at, and I've owned rental properties, and here's how I look at that. This is my assessment.
Okay.
And I'm not a wealthy guy. I'm not this high net worth person. I do okay, but I'm not considered a wealthy person.
Oh, my darling, with love in your heart, you've got all the wealth in the world.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Thank you. But you will see me out at Forts and Bainbridge with a cup later looking for a sandwich. But anyway, listen. So here's my take on buying a house. You buy a house, and some people buy it with – if first-time home buyer, you can put down a very, very little amount. But let's say people like myself, I've owned a home. So you put down 10 or 20%. And then you go into a long-term mortgage, whatever, 15 or 30 or whatever you best suits you. And you get the tax advantages come tax time because you get to write off a portion of that interest, which is all good and great. And you know, how much of the home do you own? Let's say you put down 10 or 20% of a house that costs whatever. So you don't own the home. right? I mean, if you don't pay that loan, the bank takes it from you. So you really don't own it, right?
Yeah.
You're gambling from an investment standpoint that you can buy the home. Maybe you have an agenda or a plan that's going to say, hey, I'm going to live in this house for 4 to 10 years, whatever it might be, and then I'm going to watch the real estate market. It's going to go up. I'm going to make myself, when I sell it, I'm going to make 100 or 200,000 or more or a little less. Whatever I'm going to make, I'm going to make. I'll pay the bank what I owe them, and bam. This is, you know, real estate has always proven to be a very smart and sound investment. Here's my question. You buy this house. You're paying you're paying school tax, and except in California, Proposition 13, I'll talk about that later. But anyway, and normally, in most states, your tax bill goes up every single year. It's school tax. Then you have another local municipal tax. Then you have your sewer and your pipe and your this and your that. Then the roof leaks and you got to fix the roof. Then this pipe breaks. Then your washer and dryer. Then your floor cracks. Then you need to fix this. Then your garage needs this. And you write the check, and you write the check, and you're paying your mortgage, and you write the check, and you're paying your tax, and you write the check, send the check, send the check. Anyway, and you're singing, and you're writing the check, and you're singing along. Yay! Look at my house. Look at my house. And then, so after ownership of this house, you go to that checkbook, you start, figuring all the money you spent, and then you sell it and made whatever. The only days, so during the whole term of ownership, your home really hasn't been an asset, unless you buy this incredible gem that's low tax base and didn't need anything for the ownership.
Yes.
Now, let's look at this. Instead of buying the house, and I'm not encouraging anybody one way or another. You know, some people can afford to buy a house for cash and not even think about it, and they don't care, or put a huge amount down and they don't care. It's okay, whatever it is, because they put enough down where every mortgage payment pays off capital, not just interest. If you put, I just did this figure right here on average house in California, which is very expensive. I mean, you can't buy a garage for $1 million here practically, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
So you put down minimum. You are paying nothing but interest for your first 9 years of ownership. You don't own any of that house. You're paying nothing but interest until the amount of interest and the amount of capital begin to accrue on each payment you make every month. 9 years. You not even own this house in 9 years. Let's say that's okay, because I'm going to own it for four. I'm going to make $100,000 and sell it. Boom. I don't care what it is. Pay the bank what I owe them. I got $100,000 profit on it.
Yeah.
Minus the roof, minus this, minus that, minus the tax, minus whatever. And do you get to write some of the tax off and so forth? And there are tax advantages. Yes, there are. Now, let's look at this. You rent a house. You put down 1 month security deposit, maybe last month's rent. The roof breaks, you pick up the phone. If something doesn't work, your door, your screen, your stove, your washer, dryer, your cabinets don't close right, your whatever doesn't work, this needs to be fixed, this needs to be polished, the lawn needs better landscaper, you pick up the phone. In the meantime, I take that same money and I invest it in Tesla. I'm not saying invest in the market instead of real estate. That's stupid. That would be a stupid thing to say, because real estate has been the smartest investment historically that you can make if you hold on to it for the long term. I don't care if it takes a short-term tumble, long-term it's going up. But you can say the same thing about the stock market long-term. Even though it's taken, its stock market dropped 200 points. Holy crap. Hey, if you can afford, if you didn't do this as a, like going to the casino, if you did it as a long-term investment, the stock market historically has always proven to be, hey, this is a financial show here on Andy Mandel with somebody who has no idea what he's talking about. Anyway, but I'm just talking just as a citizen, just as a person making a livable wage and what I do with my money and what seems to be, a legitimate argument that one would have in their head about making any kind of financial decision. I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I claim to be. But that's why I just brought this up. I brought this up because it's just kind of interesting when you think about, and by the way, I'm talking really, I live in California. I came from the East Coast. I lived in New York City, and I'm talking about places where it cost a fortune to buy and to rent. I can buy, I'm looking at properties out here to buy, and I told Cornell, who's in Delaware, which is a great state, great houses, great things in Delaware. I come from the East Coast. And I told him what properties cost here. And he's like, Andy, You could buy a goddamn mansion on the beach for that much. You could buy a mansion in a huge, huge mansion. Come back here. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, and to rent something in an amazing area in different parts of the country, you can do so for a lot less money than you can New York City. That's for damn sure. And there are people who leave New York. There are people who leave California because, you know what? You know, I can get a job that pays almost the same thing it does in California, but I can also get a place to live that's a hell of a lot nicer and a hell of a lot bigger, that it's a lot more affordable and lends me a better lifestyle if I move out of here to Las Vegas or New Mexico. And I've seen people do it. A lot of people do it. Like, California's losing somewhere around 200 people a week because they say, hell with this shit. You know, goodbye, all these taxes and the cost. Who the hell needs this? I'm out of here.
I can understand that. I've noticed with the U.S. compared to the U.K. is that a lot of homes there can be way bigger and way cheaper, but I think it's because of the materials used to build the homes over there. Whereas you come here and you'll see literally brick buildings. All of these buildings are brick, you know, and so they cost more. The materials here cost more, and because we're a smaller country as well, you know, the homes are slightly smaller. You can get some beautiful, spacious places here. But again, it's very costly. And if you go to the north of England, properties there are way cheaper than they are in the south. So for some reason, the south seems to be the more wealthier part of England, for sure, or maybe even the UK, I'm not really sure. Simply because of the types of landscapes we have and the cities that we have. You know, you have a lot of millionaires in my hometown, a hell of a lot of millionaires. And you don't have to go very far to walk anywhere in the town before you see a property that's millions of pounds. So, you know, it's interesting to view that spectrum and make that comparison. And, you know, I've often thought to myself, I wonder how much money I could save by living up north. But I wouldn't trade that for the beauty that I have around me. And for the type of environment that I have here in the south of England. So I can understand why you would want to stay in California, Andy, because, you know, even though it costs more, it's stunning. It's a different way of life.
It costs a lot to live here in Southern California. There's other parts of California that aren't as expensive, but I wouldn't leave here if I can help it out. Unless, you know, I love it here. And some things you just cannot put a price tag on. You know, you just, the experiences and the places I can drive to within an hour of my home, and I feel like I'm on vacation all the time. It's just incredible. You'll get here.
Definitely.
We are going to we have some great guests coming up on our show, from the world of aviation to the world of we're going to have some authors, some known personalities, some celebrities, and we're also going to have we're going to also talk about evolution and have some experts, as we talked about the last show. We're going to talk about, you know, the various theories of how we came to be, of how we evolved. And we're also going to have a couple of discussions on finance, investing, money smarts, some advice for some experts in that field. So we have a lot of really cool stuff happening in our show and in episodes coming up here next month or so.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's good. Really, really. And some things that we touch upon here, and here's there's two reasons why we touch upon things, because they're not just on our minds, but on the minds of an average citizen. That's all we are here. We're not pretending to be some kind of you know, famous radio talk show celebrities. We're not. We're John Doe on the street, and have happened to create some success with this program that we're doing. And I think we're the only program in the world that actually joins two countries together live for various perspectives on the news and current events and various issues. And so that's all we are. But the reason, one of the reasons why we touch upon the subjects that we do, folks, is because they are going to be dove into in a deeper matter with special guests that are going, who actually do know what they're talking about in future episodes. And I'd like everybody to tune in to Amanda, what's our website? You can go to blogtalkradio.com and search for us. I don't really know how most of this works social media wise, but if somebody wants to get on
Blog Talk Radio and enter in Andy and Amanda Show, and obviously in Google. Google's the best place to go because it covers every podcast, facility that we have where our shows are uploaded. You can check us out on YouTube. The shows get uploaded. But yeah, Google is the best place. Go there, enter in Annie and Amanda Show, and it should bring up everywhere that we are. And choose your poison, as they say.
Yes. So yeah, I noticed that. I Googled just for kicks Andy and Amanda Show, and we came up everywhere. It's just so cool to see. And yeah. Again, Friday is our 250th episode here on Coast to Coast, the Andy and Amanda Show. We are 250 episodes into this on Friday, and that just to me. It's a horrible waste of time. No, it's been just a wonderful, and it's been wonderful getting the feedback. We've had some amazing guests. As a matter of fact, in Amanda's hometown, not only does she live in a magnificent area of the UK, in a delightful area with you know, she's spoken about it frequently, but it's also the hometown of a very special guest we've had on the show, Mark Lester, who has the Carlton Clinic, an incredible osteopathic medicine practice with acupuncture. And Mark is all about healing and wellness and getting better and eliminating pain in your life. And there's very few people that do it better. And we're going to have Mark back on the show to talk about that in March. Mark Lester, who was of Oliver fame. We all know he played the part of Oliver in that incredible movie in 1968. He's going to come back on, and we had kind of some technical issues his last appearance on the show, so we're going to remedy that, and we're going to kind of just summarize what we talked about last time, but also focus on the Carlton Clinic and what he is doing now and some of the remedies that he has researched and found to be successful in eliminating everything from low back pain to allergies and everything in between. So I look forward to that discussion and having Mark Lester back on the show in March. So what a guy, too. Is he a great guy or what? Is he just one hell of a guy? Just a super human thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So enjoyed his company. So friendly. He's just adorable. Absolutely adorable. And so excited to get him back on, especially talking about all the things that he's passionate about with the healing and everything in the body. And I'm intrigued to hear what he has to say. But yeah, I've never actually visited his clinic. I've been past it so many times. I know where it is. And it's a beautiful area of the town. And, you know, I've known a few people who have been there and experienced his handiwork. And he's a legend. He really is. And let's face it, Oliver, wow. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Really. Yes. That's right. Who can forget that? And so many other great songs that came out of that fabulous production. Bruce Springsteen was in the news.
Yes.
Anyway, moving right along. Bruce Springsteen pleaded guilty Wednesday to charges. He had some alcohol while hanging at New Jersey Sandy Hook National Recreation Area Park. Despite his knowing that drinking in a public park is actually anywhere outdoors, outside of your own home, is prohibited. He said that he had two small shots of tequila. He had a virtual appearance before New Jersey federal court, and the plea came after federal prosecutors agreed to drop the charges that Springsteen was operating a vehicle under the influence and driving recklessly because his breathalyzer test, when he was arrested for, they said he was driving drunk, but his BAC reading was 0.02, which is, we're aware, of course, and the court is aware, that is well under the legal limit, I think, across the country of 0.08. So anyway, the prohibition of alcohol drinking at Sandy Hook Park and most public parks is 2 years old, and noting that Springsteen's otherwise clean criminal record, the judge in the case, Anthony Martone, sentenced the boss to pay $500 plus $40 in court fees, and that's the end of that. So,
I bet the commercial he was in though for Jeep promoting their vehicles. I bet they weren't pleased at all with the news of what happened.
Yeah. Yes and no. And the way, yeah, maybe during, but I've had a beer and went driving and my alcohol, you know, again, he was 0.02. If he was found to be drunk, 0.08 or significantly over that, and he was advertising the use of vehicles, then, but we've all had a beer or a glass of wine or a cocktail and be able to drive home. You know, it's when somebody has several beers or several cocktails or several glasses of wine is when our drug begins to become and it's funny because Springsteen so often in his music sings about the suicide machines, you know, down the the screen source for lambs. That's like Tom Waits. Anyway. I can do him and I can do Dylan too. That's my Springsteen.
Oh, you do Dylan mind. Very well.
Yeah, Bob, hop on a tune. Go for the ride. Anyway, Springsteen has so often sung about these suicide machines down the New Jersey Turnpike and, you know, bragged about having his carburetor baby cleaned and checked with his lines blown out. He's running like a turbojet and sang of being sprung from cages on Highway 9. Chrome wheel fuel injected, stepping out of the line. But the judge.
Awesome, Andy. Awesome.
On his incredible clean driving record. Thank you. His incredible driving record. This has been a lot of fun. We're going to begin to wrap the show. But what I want to, we're going to do something a little different to wrap the show. Ooh. And we're going to step back, rewind a little bit, and talk and hear a little bit more about the what?
Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
Oh.
No, in actuality, we started the program. We talked about the death toll of the coronavirus exceeding 500,000, which was predicted that it would. We played some sounds. We played some.
That clip makes me laugh every time because you sound genuinely ill.
We played some clips, not that one, but we played some clips from Joe Biden's speak in tribute to those who've lost their lives as we exceeded the 500,000 death toll. What I want to do is circle back around and, we'll sign off. But what I'd like to sign off with is something we've never done on the show before, which is we're going to finish hearing some more of Joe Biden's speech, followed by a moment of silence. And you could interpret a moment of silence being as the show's over. That's a long moment. But I'd like you to listen beyond the moment of silence as we on this show also express our condolences and pay those who have been affected by those near them, the loved ones near them who've lost their lives to the coronavirus. And then we'll see everybody again on Friday. Our 250 show. Real quick, our Friday show for those who listen to us live, and if in the States, 515-605-9888. For those who listen to us live, we're going to go on at 3 p.m. Your time? Is that right?
It's 5 p.m.
5 p.m. Happy hour. Friday happy hour. Hey, I love it. Can't think of a better way to spend our 250th show anniversary. The anniversary is celebrating 250 episodes. Of course, at 9 a.m. Pacific time, noon East Coast, and happy hour, 5 o'clock somewhere again on the Friday, Freaky Friday, free-flowing show. Maybe we sign off, Amanda, and we'll circle back. And don't turn it off, folks. I want you to listen to the end of the show, all the way to the end, and we're going to, again, have a moment of silence on the show, and then we're going to continue on just a little bit beyond that. So I'd really like you to listen in, if you would, please. Don't hang up yet. And we'll see you on Friday. Amanda, you want to take us home, and then we'll go ahead and play the track.
Okay, no problem, darling. On behalf of Andy Kimball in Hollywood, in California, on behalf of myself, Amanda Love in the UK, thank you again for joining us on another wonderful show. And we look forward for you to join us on Friday and enjoy this recording. And God bless you all, and you know, stay safe.
To attain your epic ass, can you describe your exercise regime?
I hire people. They do a website. It costs me $3.
Oops. Whoops. Moving right along with the Andy and Amanda program here. Because, again, you know.
I think what you just said is very important.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I am. I just had such a low melancholy tone. I had to get myself out of that. So anyway, so, oh my God, Andy, could you do anything seriously? Yes. Yes. In all seriousness.
Okay.
Here it is. Here's. We'll see you Friday, folks. And be well. Stay strong. Stay safe. Thanks.
Yeah.
Here's.
Take care, everyone.
Stay in, don't go away. Listen to this whole thing in its entirety. It will be about 3 minutes. Bye bye now.
Bye.
We are America. We can and will do this. In just a few minutes, Jill and I, Kamala and Doug, will hold a moment of silence here in the White House, the people's house, your house. We ask you to join us, to remember so we can heal, to find purpose in the work ahead, to show that there is light in the darkness. This nation will smile again. This nation will know sunny days again. This nation will know joy again. And as we do, we'll remember each person we've lost, the lives they lived, the loved ones they left behind. We will get through this, I promise you. But my heart aches for you, those of you who are going through it right now. May God bless you all, particularly those who've lost someone. God bless you.